Hallelujah.
Okay.
We need to take an offering tonight. Yeah, you can do that during the offering. It's fine. If the ushers will come forward. Once again, we are... I thought y'all weren't going to do a song. By order of the king, the church is compelled and ordered to receive God's tithe and your offerings. We have no choice. That's what we have to do. God suggests to you that you get on board for blessings and comply. It's that simple. You want a blessing. If you want men to chase you down and give you things, you first give to God. That's the way the scripture reads. We can't change it. We just receive it and be blessed in it. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you tonight and invoke your promises in our lives. Please receive it. We give with joy. Let it create joy to you and in you. Use this offering and use our example of giving. Sanctify it all for your use, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead if you've got that.
Come down, the mountains all fall to the ground, but I will fear none of these things. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Dark waters rise, thunder pounds, the wheels of war are going round, and all the walls are crumbling. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Hide me underneath your wing. Hide me deep inside your heart. In your refuge, cover me. Can pour, the deluge breaks, no tempest roars, but in the storm, my spirit sings. Oh, shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Shelter me, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now that's an old sinner. Sometimes sinners know how to pray better than we do. I don't mind music. I love music and I listen for God in music. And I bought an album because of a sound and that came out of it. That's not all of it by a long shot. But that's what time we have tonight. You guys need to listen and look in your music for God. God owns the music. He created all music. Anything that's written, it may be perverted, but it belongs to God. So listen for God to change it back to His ownership according to our commands. Amen? Let's again pray. Father, we give ourselves in this time to you. We submit ourselves to the Word, to your Spirit. We yield ourselves and lay back saying, change us tonight with your presence, with your word, and with this vessel. We say tonight, I am changed. And we do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give up on the series that we've been on. I'm just going to continue on it. This is another subsection. But I'm going to start something different. When we get through, you guys, you better be changed. You better be. I command it to be so in Jesus' name. That's what we prayed and you agreed. It's too late. You're going to be changed. The series is going to be called I Am That I Am. And we're going to learn what that means. But before we can learn what it means, I need to cover some basics with you tonight. Will you let me go to some basics? You won't get mad if I take you back to what you already know, right? Well, when I get through, I hope to step on some toes tonight because too many of our basics have held us back. Please understand that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. God is my Father. I'm a child of the King. Nothing I say will ever change that, and I don't want it to change it in you. I just want, when my wife put up here, is your cage door open? I didn't know if I needed to look at my zipper or what. But it causes us to think. I love the way Pastor Doyle presented this last Sunday. I was already going in a direction, and that helped me use some verbiage. So tonight, we're going to study the Word, and in that Word, we're going to trip over a couple of things. Is that okay? Not going to fall, we're just going to trip. All right. The key scripture that we're going to use, if you'll turn to Exodus, I'm not even going to go heavy into this tonight, I'm just going to introduce it because we're going to be reading it again. This is what it says. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So children of Israel tonight, I am has sent me here. Amen. Are you all excited? If not, you should be. Receive it and you'll get more. All right. God's given me a really, really strong word, and it's going to take a little while to work this out. If I hit you with it tonight, you wouldn't hear it. That's why I want to do some basics. But it's a word that God wants us to grasp so that we begin to enter in to what He truly wants for us. Now, did you hear me? I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are, you're not where God wants you to be. Okay. So He has to keep bringing in new thought processes so that we'll change and accept the new thing that God has for us. What God wants for us, we're going to earn it. That's a little different than maybe you've all heard, but I'm promising you, what God wants for us as we continue to grow, we're going to earn it. We're going to earn it. We're going to earn it by faith, trust, and obedience. That's not bad words. That's not bad words at all. Those are good words. We're not going to get it by love. I mean by law. Sorry about that. We're not going to get it by law. Can I tell you a law that you're not going to get it by? If you'll confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll get it. You're not going to get it that way. That's going to be your first baby step. We need to... Well, let me not get ahead of myself and continue on. I'll hit it again. Let me put up here those basics that I have. I want to go through a few basics that we need to understand before we can get out of childish things. Okay, there's, I think, 10 of these. How many of you understand that we were all born under the law? Now, what that means is law kills. I mean, that's what the Scripture says. So you were all born, we were all born in, let's call it, a death mode. That's number one. Number two, we all broke the law. Anybody in here never committed a sin? Ever in their entire life, never committed a sin? Okay, we all fit into this. Everybody broke the law. Number three, the punishment for breaking the law or breaking these transgressions or transgressing is death and eternal hell. When you cross God, there's only one punishment. When you obey or disobey, there's only one punishment. That's this. There's also only one way out. Let's go to number four. God sent His Son to purchase our lives from that death penalty. Everybody understand this? It required a death. It required a death of something that was perfect. There was only one entity that could do that. That was God's Son. He came without sin and He paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins, gave us the opportunity of eternal life. Did you hear the catch word there? Opportunity. He gave us an opportunity for eternal life. So anybody that tells you that God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, therefore everybody's saved, is full of baloney. There's a contract that you have to sign. All right, number five. When we accept this fact as truth, that we were dead until He paid, we then can accept the fact that we owe Him our lives. What do we owe? So it's not free, is it? See, don't ever tell a man that died for you that it was free. We've been duped if that's what we've been told and we believe it. We've been fooled. There was a catch to this thing. When God sent His Son, it cost God dearly. When Jesus died on the cross, it cost Him dearly. And for us to receive everything that God has for us, it cost us our lives. And giving our lives to Him, we are no longer under bondage to the law. What's the catchphrase there? To the law. We're free from the law of sin and death. Okay, number six. We are now purchased. We are a purchased slave to God. Now here's the glamour of salvation. You change from one slave to death to slave to life. And if you can't get this down, we won't go to freedom. The goal here is I want to talk to you about freedom. And you can't stay free. You can't be free if you're a slave. Well, now, Stan, you're mixing me up. Good. Good. When Jesus died for you, He gave you an opportunity to become a slave. You were already a slave. It's not a step down, it's a step up, because now you're a slave to life instead of death. Two choices, please let all your kin folks and friends know. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. You better make a choice. It's that simple. You're a slave to one of those. Number seven. God does not want slaves, but heirs. Do y'all believe that? That God is not satisfied, even though you're going to become a slave, that's not where He wants you to be. How do we get there? How do we get to be an heir or saved? Freedom is the only way to become heirs. Are you hearing me? Pastor's been trying to teach this, and so we're going to stay on it. Freedom is the only way to become an heir to what God has for you. An heir or joint heir in Christ. That means, you want me to tell you what that means? It means you're equal to Christ. That means there's no longer an only begotten son. There's begotten sons and daughters. That's what God wants for us. And you're not going to get there just by being born again. Did you hear what I said right there at the last? You're not going to get there just by getting saved, by buying hell insurance. You're not going to get there. Verse 9. Flesh is law and keeps us in slavery. Even to God, not His will. To God, it's not His will. Example, if we believe that being born again is all we need, then we do God's will by law and we stay in bondage. Why are so many Christians depressed, excuse the religious terminology, downtrodden? Why are they sad sacks? They never have a victory because they're born again. Oh, Stan, you're full of it. No. No, you didn't keep moving. You didn't keep moving. You stopped by law. I made it into heaven, so I don't have to do any more. Well, see, you don't even realize you're in a cage of being born again. And it's keeping you from moving on to God's perfect will. Anybody want to arm wrestle? Anytime you want to say, what? And we'll go over it again. But I'm telling you the truth, and I'm going to show you scripture-wise. I can show you that. Number 10. Spirit-led life is the only freedom and the only way to become heirs. Did you know when you're born again, you're not led of the Spirit? Did you know that? Did you know you didn't get the whole package when you were born again? I'll tell you, if you want a good description, this is God gave me this a long time ago. Anybody ever had a dirty fuel tank? I mean, you can get water, you can get rust, you can get things in the fuel tank. You can take that thing out. I don't care if you replace it, but you can get it as clean as a bell. And guess what's going to happen? You're not going anywhere. All you got's a clean tank. Try going somewhere on a clean tank. There is no fuel. There's nothing to lead you. There's nothing to move you, empower you. Something has to be filled. When you were born again, you were washed clean. You weren't covered, you were washed. You were clean. That's the way it is. What the Bible says, not going to change it. But a Spirit-led life is the only freedom. You're not free born again. You're only free from sin, but you're not free. There's a cage door still shut. We need to open it. And do that, we have to yield to the Spirit of the living God. He has to take up residence. Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. So Jesus had to go, something else had to come. Spirit. The Spirit-led life is the only freedom and the only way to become an heir. Okay. Now let me start reading you a little more. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. If anybody here wants to say saved and that's all, you're under the law. It may be a different law, it's still law. Do you know God has law? Do you know how to get out from under God's law? Be free. Which is the perfect law or will of God. All the rest is you got to obey the rules. I can be born again, obey the Ten Commandments. Is that wrong? No, but it's law. Now I've got to be careful that I never break a commandment. Well, why don't I just give myself to God, be Spirit-led, and I'll stay away from breaking commandments. And I'll feel good, and I won't worry about it. And I'll become an heir. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Next verse, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. He had two. Did he not? He fathered two sons. All right. The one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Now let me stay there just for a second. Aha, you didn't. Somebody got out of faith on a promise. You remember God promised a son and it was going to... All right, you understand that story. Well, they got impatient and another woman came in, was brought in to give that son that was promised by God. You see how you move into law? If God promised, he has to provide the son. Instead, we got a little impatient and we provided the son. So now we have a bondwoman that was not part of the promise. And we had a son. A what? A son. Legally correct, morally correct, nothing wrong here. It was all under tradition and respect and law. All right, then there was another woman. The wife that got impatient and all kinds of stuff. We're not going to go there. Go to the next verse. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. And he of the free woman... through promise. Now, which one is God going to work through? So we have to stay away from doing it our way. We have to stay away from getting impatient. We have to be led of the Spirit. The Spirit made the promise. Let the Spirit fulfill the promise. You be patient. Next verse. These things are symbolic. Okay? They are symbolic. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Now, I'm not going to go any further. I think we got the picture here. One is under law, even though... I'm going to see if I can't get this across to you. We can obey the Ten Commandments, be under the law, and not be free. Did we get that? That's what we're drawing a picture of here. This was all legal. This was all under contract, all under law, but it wasn't blessed. Because it wasn't done in freedom, it was done in impatience. It was done in, I'm going to do it my way, God, I'm tired of waiting on you. I'm going to give you three things here, the three stages of the will of God for you. For all mankind. Not, you're part of all mankind, I take it. Okay. Number one, you must be purchased. Did you all of you agree that all of you sin comes short of the glory of God? All of you agreed with that. All right, you got to be bought back. You've got to be purchased. So the first stage of the fellowship and the life of God in the movement to freedom is you become a slave. You are purchased. You owe a debt you can't pay. Everybody got that? You owe a debt that you can't pay. So now you're kind of a slave, a bond person. Number two, you're adopted. Do you know how long it takes most people to go from being saved to being adopted? See, the only way you're going to get the spirit of adoption is when the Spirit of God comes on you and convinces you that you're now a son of God, as the child of the bondwoman, a son, but not really. It's an adopted son. It's not the same DNA. The Spirit of God has a hard time convincing you, the old dirty rotten sinner that just got born again, that you can even be adopted into the family of God. But once the Spirit works and gets you convinced of that, you have the spirit of adoption upon you. That spirit of adoption is working for your freedom. The Spirit of God is working by adopting you to set you free. Now guess what? When you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're no longer a slave, the Spirit has convinced you, you're beginning to be led by the Spirit, you now feel like a son. You no longer feel like a slave. That's your second step. It's required. Everybody's going to go through it. There's a third one. It's sonship. Something happens. The Spirit of God, something does. He does something in you that you all of a sudden begin to understand that you're not adopted. You've been changed. God's DNA is now your DNA. His DNA is not in you. You are His DNA. Did you hear me? You didn't just take His last name. You became His name. I am that I am. We'll get to that. But it's a big step from slavery to I am a son of God. I'm not adopted. His blood is my blood. His DNA is my DNA. He speaks, I speak. When I speak His word, it sounds like God. It is God. Are you hearing me? The church has failed in teaching this. The Spirit has been trying. I'm going to read that to you in Scripture, by the way. In fact, let's just turn to that. Romans chapter 8. You should begin to get a little excited during this. If not, I'll just stress my voice for nothing. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now let's go back to the bondwoman and free woman. When there was a decision to bring on another woman because this woman wasn't doing God's will, was that being led of the Spirit? That's why that was the mistake. It wasn't being led by the Spirit, it was led by the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Okay, we know by this scripture that when you begin to be led by the Spirit, you've moved out of slavery, you've moved at least into adoption. You now have the spirit of adoption, you start calling yourself a son of God, you do that freely, boldly. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. When you were born again, you weren't born again to fear. And you didn't feel in bondage and slavery. Even though you were a slave, you didn't feel it. Man, if you didn't have a little bit of feeling, you wouldn't know what happened. Right? You weren't born. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What did you receive? So when you were moved from bondage, you were, and the Holy Spirit moved on you, He said, I don't want you to be a slave. I don't want you to be in bondage to rules and regulations. I don't want you to be a religious. I want you to be, I'm going to give you, I'm going to convince you, I'm going to force on you the spirit of adoption. And I'm not going to be happy, the Spirit of God says, until you start crying out, Abba, Father. Not saying, Stan, what do I need to do? God, you promised me this. Whatever you need to fill in there. but I'm getting impatient. I need you to do something or I'm going to do something. You're no longer being led by the Spirit. You may have to go back to slavery and start that adoption over again because you're not really crying out, Abba, Father. Next verse. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself. You got that? The Spirit is not gas. The Spirit is not tongues. The Spirit is not interpretation. The Spirit is not born again. The Spirit is not healing. The Spirit is a man. The third person of the Trinity. Now there's a lot of things that come from that man, but let's first get him to be who we know. This is the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when I say, Abba, Father, the Spirit says, yeah, that's what I've been teaching you. That's what I want you to talk like. I don't want you to say, I'm just a worm, like some songs sing. I don't want you to say, maybe I'm going to make it, maybe I won't. The Spirit of God doesn't want you to try to get to heaven, try to be a son of God. He wants you to try to do anything. The Spirit of God is going to convince you to be bold, to be strong, to be full of courage as your Father God. Y'all ever think about what God might be afraid of? What would cause God to fear? What would cause God to worry? Well, maybe if you want to act like Him, you'll stop that. That adoptive spirit will start moving into sonship. And if children, if we finally decide we're children of God, then the next step is heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hope. Joint heirs with who? Anybody know what joint heir means? Because you're not getting very excited. What does joint heir mean? That means everything that God has, He gave to Jesus Christ, and everything that Jesus Christ has, I share. I'm part of who God is, I'm part of what God is, and I'm part of what He owns. That's what the Spirit of God wants you to understand. If indeed, there's an if. If indeed we suffer with Him, what does that mean? That means don't do what you want to do. The biggest suffering you can go through is don't do what you want to do. That's the hardest work we've got. Don't do. If we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh, man. We talked about the glory of Jesus in this place, and then this says we can be glorified with Him. When He's glorified, we're glorified. Now, are you catching this? God wanted the very best for Jesus. Now He's telling us He wants the very best for you. And if He seated Jesus at His right hand in heavenly and high places, guess where He wants us? And if God says, let it be, and Jesus says, let it be, and all of that carries weight, and I'm a joint heir, then when I say, let it be, did y'all finish that one? Did y'all ever say to your kids, because I said so? Well, if you don't, you need to practice it a little more. Because that's the way God says something to you. I said to do it. Why? Because I said so, that's why. And we'll get into understanding more about that. I hope we do. Okay. Now are y'all ready to study some? All right, then let's go back to Romans. The beginning, the next bunch here. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't read further. Just listen to me for a second. You know what the difference between the spirit of adoption and sonship is? No condemnation. You know why most Christians have problems? The accuser has a better connection with them than the Spirit of the living God. Are you hearing me? The Spirit of accusation, condemnation has a better contact, connection, or has your attention more than the Spirit of God. Because I promise you, as you walk this life, if you're led by the Spirit, you will never feel condemned. Ever. You will laugh at the enemy. You have it built into you. As Jesus laughed at the enemy, you will do that because you have the Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of a living God telling you, I didn't say that. I don't care what they said about you. I didn't say that. You don't even have to discuss that anymore. After a while, I am a son of God. Whoa, I'm a son of... Whoa! Well, that means that I make as many mistakes as God does. Y'all didn't like that one. But it's the truth. You know why? Because you're being led of the Spirit. If you are led of the Spirit, and this is where the church has got to get to, and let me get as nutty as I can. I don't know how to get nutty. If this church starts swinging from the now non-existent chandeliers and it's led of the Spirit, it is correct. And if we don't and it's led of the Spirit, it's correct. If one service, I remember this, in the church in Denver one time, I don't know why, but I ministered and I asked people if they wanted to pray, and they all lined up, and man, good night every time I tried to touch one of them, they boom, hit the ground. These people don't hit the ground. And I mean everyone, they're laying everywhere, and I'm going, what in the world happened? What happened was Spirit happened. Well, explain it to me. I cannot. I didn't say I understood everything by the Spirit. I said I was led by the Spirit. You know what flesh did? Set all the next week trying to figure out what he did so he can do it again. I figured it out. I did something. Now if I can do it again, it'll happen again. We're trying to move right back into the law. Something I did caused something to happen. No. The Spirit of God decided that was the day that was supposed to happen. And that's what he told me. You didn't do anything. Get your nose out of it. If you've done it, you take credit for it. I think you're right, God. I won't take credit for it. I didn't do anything. That doesn't ever happen again. That's fine. Did you hear me? If nobody ever goes out around me in the Spirit ever again, I'm okay. Why? It's not my responsibility. I'm a son of God. I'm not God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Okay? All right. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who... Now wait a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and also who do not walk according to the flesh. All right. Now let me tell you what this scripture said. It said that the minute you feel condemnation, you are walking in the flesh. Well, Stan, I didn't write it. And I'm not taking responsibility for it. I'm telling you, there it is, right there, plain and simple. If you're feeling condemnation, conviction, there's flesh involved. If you're walking free, you're being led by the Spirit, therefore, there's no condemnation. Come on. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, and that's what we're interested in, right? Life? In Christ Jesus, in other words, I want life and I want to be in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. All right. When I'm led of the Spirit, when I finally get to where I'm supposed to be, I'm free. Free from what? Everything. Come on, guys. Half of your life, three-fourths of your life is spent worrying about sin and death. And that's where we made a mistake. We need to move on. God wants us to never think about sin and never think about death again. Why? Because I'm free from sin. Ooh, what do you mean? You mean you can walk this life without sin? Yes. Yes. And you will never be free until you understand that. You can't be in Christ Jesus and sin. What are you, nuts? You seated at the right hand of God and you think you can sin and stay at the right hand of God? Are you stronger than I know about then? I'm telling you, you can get to a position where as a son of God, you know, if I own the whole world, guys, how can I do wrong? You missed it. You missed it. I run a company over here and I'm the boss. You know how many times I'm wrong? Never. Never. Now, I may go in the back room and say, I think I'll do that different next time. But I'm not about to tell the employee that because that would be wrong. I'm sorry, it would be wrong. Now, that's flesh. That's a very simple understanding of the flesh. What about the spirit? If I'm the Son of God and I'm being led by God and He tells me to do something, how can it be wrong? You're not answering me. You got to get involved in this thing. Answer yes, answer no, answer never, answer that's crazy. Answer something. Because it's by your answers that you're going to exceed or you're going to fail. By your answers. I'm free. I don't know if we're going to get off this. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. I'm not going to worry about sinning against you because that's not possible anyway. The only sin I can commit is that against God. And I have no desire to do that, so I'm going to be led of the Spirit to stay away from sinning against God. How many different ways do I need to say this? Do you think that I really want to ever cross God? Do you think that it would hurt me if I did? Yes, it would. So He and I are in agreement. I do not want to. I do not have a desire to. In fact, I have a desire to never, ever hurt God. Ever. I don't want to disappoint Him. Where did that come from? It's called the spirit of sonship. The Holy Spirit gave me a desire to please Him, not hurt Him. Well, God says, that's my guy. That's what I want. I've raised him right. I think I'll put a little more raising in him, but he's going to do right. Now I'm free. I'm free. Boy, I'm free to be a Jehovah's Witness. If you can't witness of Jehovah, you're wrong. There's something wrong with you. I'm free to be a Baptist. I believe in baptism. I'm free to be a Methodist. There's method in God. Tell me there's not. Do you understand? Next time you have a Jehovah's Witness come up and bother you, when they say, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, say, praise God, so am I. Would you like to hear about Him? See? You're free to mix things up. You're free to argue. You're free to fight because you're doing it for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Father. Amen? You're free. Go to the next one. We'll see if we can cover something else. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He looked like sinful flesh, but He wasn't. Okay? On account of sin, He was sent. He condemned sin in the flesh. One of the things I'm sick of is hearing about how weak my flesh is. Don't tell me how weak my... I'm not going to tell me how weak my flesh is, and I don't want you to. Because Jesus took care of my flesh. Now, if I'm a slave, that's not true. But if I've moved into even to the spirit of adoption, it becomes real. Go to the next one. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Whoa! Did you know, by God's own words, that it was right for the law to be fulfilled by the death of Jesus Christ? That was righteous? Did you see that? I never thought about Jesus' death being righteous. Well, there it is. It was. He fulfilled the law righteously. Now, when we die to Him, it's a righteous death. We fulfilled our law. Might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The next one. I think God's trying to get across to us. We have to... Where did she go? Okay. Whoa. Going back to 5. Is that my granddaughter back there? For those who live according to the flesh... set their minds on the thing of the flesh. Okay, how do I know if I'm living in the flesh? Because that's all I ever think about. I see flesh walk by. Flesh. Everything turns me on but God. I see money. Oh, money. Oh. You hear me? If all of my desire is in the flesh, I have my mind set on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. Let me tell you what needs to consume you. Does this please God? You don't ever have to worry about you, me, the church, anybody else. If all is on your mind is that you, God? Did you really say that? Anybody in here have God talk to him before? Because you act like I'm speaking French or something. Let me tell you how it works. And please don't, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the Spirit of God. The other day, I think it was Monday, when Jeff Ferguson was here, he said something. I heard him say something. He said, I want you to ask God, and he said it sincerely. That's the reason I heard it. That if you're to give, how much you're supposed to give. Did he say that? Did anybody bother to ask? I asked right there. And I guarantee you I heard just like that. God said, give him $1,000. That can't be you, God. You never told me that figure before. It can't be you. Can't be you. All right. You see what my flesh is trying to say? I know that was God. What in the world are you talking about? We all have this. Okay. I let it go by. Was he here Wednesday night, wasn't he? I think it was on the way to church. I said to my wife, did you hear him say, ask? She said, I heard him. I said, did you ask? She said, yeah. What'd you hear? Nothing. And then I never saw this before. She said, nothing. $1,000. And I said, what in the world did you just tell me? Did you hear or didn't you hear? Well, but I don't want to hear. Come on, is this the way we are? If we really want to be sons of God, we may have that temptation, we'll just never obey it. You hear me? I obeyed. It's the wrong time. God, surely we got other things we got to do with this. No, it's not the wrong time. Shut that flesh up. I just said to you, and I mean this, I don't care. You can't outgive God. Why can't we respond and say, thank you, I'm going to get a bigger reward than this? Because we know him. Now, that's just one little thing that happens to us all the time when God speaks. We just need to get in a position where we don't, I don't even want to call it argue, we just don't even question. Well, I don't have that kind of money. Well, evidently, he's been looking somewhere and he found it. Because he told you to give it. What are you going to do, hide something from God? You may not have a dollar, but I promise you when you give that, God has to obey his word and put that money in there. Now don't get nuts. I confirmed what I heard. I thought that was the funniest confirmation I ever heard. No, $1,000. You ask her after church, you don't believe it. It was just like that. I thought, that's strange. All right. I think we were on. Need to be at 6. For to be carnally minded, that's flesh minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Now let me ask you something. If you could ask everybody in every church and then go outside of the church and ask everybody in the world, what would they like the most? Would it be those last two words? Wouldn't it be life and peace? So listen, sons of God, you have the answer. It is to get rid of your carnal mind, crucify it, You become a slave, then you become adopted, then you become a son of God, and you will have life and more abundantly, and you will have peace in that more abundantly. You got the answer to all of life. You have it. Now, if you don't get that yet, you're not a son of God yet. Because that truth will not be revealed to you. See, here's the other thing we got to deal with. If you're still a slave, the secrets are not going to be told to you. You can't handle that truth. I like to be on the front. I really do. Verse 7. Here's why to be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind is an enemy, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now look at this. Nor indeed can it be. Now listen, if all you can think about is Whataburger and a paycheck and that pretty girl or pretty guy walking down the street, if all you can think about is that new car, that new tractor, that new motorcycle, whatever it is, you won't get it. It is not subject to law, nor can it be. You will never, spiritually minded, you can't be subject to the law. Flesh minded, you'll never understand life and peace. Is that simple enough? You know what you're going to get? I've heard this somewhere. I think it's in this church. You're going to get what you're looking for. If all you can look at is flesh, you're going to get flesh, and you're not going to like it. And if all you want to do is please God, He's going to get pleased, and you're going to get pleased. And you know what? Your life and peace, your pleasure and your joy can't be captivated by somebody's religion. Not even a preacher can do it. He's got some new rule he's going to come up with. I'm free. You know what I'm free from? Rules and regulations. If it applies to me, the Spirit will tell me, and it will become part of my hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it'll be joy while I do it. I want to be free. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if He dwells there, not comes and goes. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not His. I don't want to be born again. I no longer want to be born again. Why would I want that? I've already been born again. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to ever be forgiven of sin again. Ever. Because I don't want to have to ask for it. Because there's another part of the Scripture in the Bible that says, what, are you going to sin again and crucify Jesus again? And I'll tell you what God says. No way. I want to be His. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, oh, yuck. The body is dead. What does that mean? You have told it, and the Spirit of God has told it to shut up enough, you can't even hear it anymore. Because of sin. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of rightness, righteousness. Righteousness is the name of Christ. Amen? Are you alive in Him? Then your flesh is dead. What do you mean my flesh is dead? It's dead because you keep saying so. You tell it to be dead. It has to obey. We're going to get to this in several weeks, I promise you. What you say, you're going to get. Even if it's not there yet. Go to the next one, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him, oh, this is so good. If the Spirit of Him, that would be the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, not visits. Why do you think that I started, one of the early parts of my preaching was that God's here. Don't ask Him to come. If you're asking God to show up where you're at, He doesn't dwell in you. Now, I'll go ahead and say that now to you. When I leave here, I'm going with Him. because I am doing His will. His will is for me to go home tonight. If He changes His mind and sleep here, I'll sleep here. But I don't think that's the case. He's got a mattress for me over there. He provided. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your flesh. Your flesh is dead in sin, or was. Now there's a resurrection that God wants to give you. He doesn't want you to be a slave anymore. You have been in your tomb. You've been in your cage. It's time for that flesh to be resurrected. Why? So that it can carry the Spirit of God and do the work of the Spirit of God. He'll give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. All right. I think most of you would do this. If God decided to move into your house, you'd probably remodel a little bit. There'd be a couple of things you'd change, right? Well, God has moved in. He's moved into you. And if something in you says, I'd like to remodel a little bit, well, do it. It's fine. Do it for Him. Let's get out of the law that I got to force myself to do these things. I don't have to force myself to do anything. There's a Spirit of God that dwells in me that says, please. Yeah. You got it. Next verse. Therefore, brethren. Now let me tell you what it's there for. We are debtors. Not to the flesh. Not to live according to the flesh. Next one. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. You won't just die here. You won't just have no life and no peace. You'll die eternally with no life and no peace. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, that sounds like it's all up to me. It can be. If you like works, well then you'll never succeed, but just do it. If you say, I can't, then the Holy Spirit moves in and says, but I can. But I can. I can get it done for you. And as you make mistakes, I'll make sure it's not counted to you as sin. Because you're under my umbrella. That's what God says. You're under my umbrella. You remember that blood that Jesus shed? Still there. I don't know how this happens. I don't intend to explain it to you. But when Jesus died 2,000 plus years ago on the cross, He washed your sins away, past, present, and future. If you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Did you hear what I said? Past, present, and future. You know what I said a while ago, I can't sin? Those rose-colored glasses that God uses. Blood covered. I ought to have said something tonight to excite you just a little bit. I'm running out of time. Maybe I can keep trying. Next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Anybody in here want to be led of the Spirit? Then you, when you are, you're automatically convinced by that same Spirit that you are now a son of God and a joint heir with Christ. I'm going to ask you one more time. If you owned the whole world, could you make a mistake? It's your world. How do you make a mistake in your world? In my world, if I decide to wear pink pants tonight, it's okay. Because I own the world and the pants. And I didn't ask for your vote. Now I'm a son of God. And I don't ask for your vote. I want the Spirit's vote. And if you and I are filled with the same Spirit, we will have nothing to argue about. You wear pink and I'll wear green, and people will say, those guys are weird, and yes, sir. What's your problem? Don't you know this is God's design? Amen? I'm telling you, if you don't get anything else tonight, you can get excited about you can't sin. Why do you want me to understand that? Otherwise, if you don't understand this, the enemy is going to have you on your knees forever. And the Spirit's saying, don't ever get there again. God does not want you on your knees. He wants such a relationship with you that you don't even need to pray. You know the answer. Somebody recently walked up to me and said, will you agree with me in something? I said, no. Well, why? Because I don't know what you're asking me to agree with. This holds the power of life and death. And I'm not going to agree with you just because you want something that I don't think, you know, you ask God if that's what he wants, I agree. And if it's not, I agree against you. I don't want you to have something that he doesn't want for you. We move too cautious. Pastor said last week about being bold and courageous. We need to stop being cautious. You know what caution is? It's fear. It's fear if I make this step too fast or I make it wrong, then I may fail. How can you fail if you own the world? You're not getting it. I will get you there. We'll get you there. I promise you we'll get you there. We're going to stop right there right now. That's not the ending place, but I want you, above all things, to prosper and be in health as, let me say it like I want to say it, as your spirit prospers. I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God lives in you and gets you blessed from the inside, you're going to be blessed on the outside. Amen. Too many of us, we want to bypass that. We just want to get blessed on the outside without any of this spiritual work. Well, I thought you said the Spirit. Yeah, the biggest work you're going to have is believe the Spirit. Trust the Spirit. Don't argue. Argue can say, no, $1,000. You sound confused. But I didn't want to hear. Maybe that's why we just went through this. So that part, God is so good. Don't you think she heard that? What she was admitting to me is I didn't want to hear, but I don't care. Let's give it up. Amen? God has something special for everybody in here. No exceptions. There is no exceptions. God wants something very special for everybody in here. All he wants you to do is trust him. Let's get this down very simplistic. Listening to the Holy Spirit is easy. You listen, he talks. I'm going to say that to you again. Being led of the Holy Spirit is very easy. He talks, you listen. So what's the hardest part about this? You listen. We're too busy running our mouths instead of operating our ears. Then we get impatient. It's too quiet. It's too quiet. I don't like it so quiet. We got to get something done. Yeah, you do. You got to get something done. Shut up. Wait. Those that wait upon the Lord, they'll be strengthened. They'll be encouraged. Life and peace is your reward. Amen. All right, stand with me. Well, how in the world did you title that I Am That I Am? You will see. You will see. You need to look forward. Anybody expecting anything?
Yes.
That's two, three. Listen, can I get you to say something and kind of prelude to where we're going? Can you say with me, I am expected?
I'm expecting.
I'm expecting.
Yeah.
I'm expecting. Now say, I am blessed. Whoa. How come that was louder than the other? Oh, more practice. All right. Well, let's practice the other one. I'm expecting.
All right.
You're right. That's a good answer. I am that I am says I am expecting. I am the Son of God, and I am expecting, because I said so, and I will take no other report, and flesh, an enemy, I will kick your butt if you get in the way. You got one. It's not a bad word. Everybody owns at least one. Some own more than that, but you should work on that. Come on. You can't be bold and you can't be strong if you don't get a little aggressive. And you all said amen.
Amen.
So I say, I'm aggressive. Don't whisper. Don't smile and whisper. I can't. Did you know I'm just a little bit of hard of hearing? You need to. What was that? I'm going to tell you what. And I need you to understand this. When you respond correctly, God hears. The Spirit of God causes you to respond so that He can react. So the angels of heaven have to get going. So the world has to move. So those things that are wrong are made right. If you say, I don't feel good, then you don't feel good. If you say, I am healed, then you are healed. And I promise you, all you have to do is wait for the manifestation. All right. I am expecting. And praise God. Let's seal this. Above all things, Father, we love you. Above all treasure, we treasure you. Above our own flesh, above our own will, we love you. We submit to you. We desire you. We hunger and thirst after you and your rightness, your righteousness. We receive this word with thanksgiving, but more than that, we receive the coming words with thanksgiving. We receive them now by faith. We know that you're going to change these people. You're going to change this church. You're going to change me. And I'll accept no other report. I am what you say that I am. That's the last statement. We say this in Jesus' name. In great faith, everybody in this place is lifted up and changed. Glory to glory is on you because you gave God honor tonight. Treasure the word, meditate on it, and we'll all be blessed in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.